The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is it going to be easy or hard for Lucifer to deceive the nations? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and thank you so much for joining us. We're currently in a series taking questions from listeners just like yourself. We love to get questions from those who listen, and we get them from all over the place. In fact, I hope you feel free to send us your questions if you've got any. You can do that through email, radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We're here to just talk about theology and follow up with questions. We're so pleased with everyone writing in, and thank you very much. We don't have a live call-in show. I don't know if we ever will. Maybe one day. I don't know. But for now, we try to replicate the call-in atmosphere by me just surprising Bob with your questions.
With totally secret questions.
With no preparation.
That's exactly right.
Of course, I don't have any preparation either. I just pick these out of the pile. And if you're writing us a question, it's kind of like recipes on the internet. I'm always looking at recipes on the internet. For some reason, people have gotten into this habit of, instead of saying, here's how you make the lasagna, they'll start off by saying, it was 1932. My grandmother grew up in a little village in the south part of Italy. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, I don't care about your life story. Just how much sauce do I need? What are the spices? Just give me the instructions. So the same thing with your Bible and theology questions. You know, we like to get to know you, but it's a lot easier if you just put your questions simply.
We don't need to know about the village in southern Italy.
I don't need to know the village or the, you know, maybe a little context, but just use a few sentences. If I see that a question, if an email has like the question is nice and clear, I'm way more likely to pick it up and
ask right.
Bob.
That's right.
Well, anyway, so here's some questions. You ready for some questions?
I'm hoping.
You're hoping for some questions. Okay.
No, I'm hoping I'm ready.
Oh, you're hoping you're ready. Okay. Well, here's a question from Phil, and Phil is a regular listener, and on one of our previous podcasts, we talked about Lucifer and eternal security, and someone made the statement, I don't know if it was me or you, it'll take a great degree of intelligence to deceive the nations, because Lucifer in the end will deceive the nations. And what Phil says, this is not so much a question as a comment, he says, with current events as they are, and considering what's said about the insurrection on the Capitol and those who follow Trump and the hesitancy to take COVID and et cetera, I actually believe it's going to be pretty easy to deceive the nations. And he says, without the knowledge of who Christ is and the acceptance of his person and work and trusting in Christ alone, man will perish. Anyways, I guess his comment is it actually going to be pretty easy for Satan or Lucifer to deceive the nations?
Well,
I mean, aren't we all blind already? I mean, or not all of us, but
well,
like the unbelieving world.
2 Corinthians 4:4 says Satan, you know, has blinded the eyes of people. And, of course, we're told he snatches away the seed lest they should believe and be saved, Luke 8:12.
Right.
So, yes, there is a blinding, but I see Phil's point, and I see your point, and I think they're both correct. But the great intellect that's been necessary to move in this direction has been going on for centuries.
Right.
This isn't something that just started yesterday. I mean, I was born in 1952.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first president I remember is John F. Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And I remember him. I remember when he was assassinated. I was in sixth grade. I remember, you know, all the details. And life has changed so radically,
right,
over the course of the 69 years I've been alive.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole gay, lesbian, transgender, LGBTQA, all of that is relatively recent.
Sure.
But yet, today, it seems like, well, that's just normal, right? What's going on with Twitter and what's going on with Facebook and their domination of the news, and they control what news gets out and what doesn't.
Right.
You know, it's being debated and maybe something will happen, but it seems to me that what's happened with this move toward postmodernity, and postmodernity is basically the idea that's taught in most elementary, middle school, high school, college today, even Christian schools sometimes teach this, is that we don't know anything for sure. everything is tinged with uncertainty, and that we have our views, and oftentimes they'll talk about truth with a little t, not truth with a big T.
Right.
And they'll say, you have your truth, and I have my truth. And our truths can contradict each other, and yet they're both true. We've adopted this nutty postmodern mindset, and as a result, yeah, I can see what Phil's saying. It's going to be easier to deceive the nations because for hundreds of years, the groundwork has been taking place.
I have a follow-up question about that. This is me personally, and I was discussing this with someone. I don't know who I heard it from, but I think someone said the Antichrist can't appear until after the rapture. But no one knows when the rapture is going to be, including Satan. So does that mean every generation he has to have a plan in place to raise up the Antichrist right then and there in case the rapture happens?
That's a good point. I don't know. That's a great...
Have you ever heard that?
No, but that's a great question. Thank you for asking it. But I think it's an interesting point. Now, I hold a slightly different view on the Antichrist.
Uh-huh.
I hold the view that Hodges held, which is the Antichrist is the false prophet.
Okay.
And the world ruler is called the man of sin, not the Antichrist. However, most people say the world ruler is the Antichrist.
Well, whoever those two guys are, Satan must have a plan. It's almost like he needs candidates every generation at a moment's notice in case the rapture happens to raise them up.
This is interesting speculation. You're probably right because it is clear that Satan and his minions don't know when the rapture is going to occur, so they need... We're told to be watchful.
Right.
Well, they're watchful, too.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
For a different reason.
That's exactly right. Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. Now, this wasn't my idea. I heard someone else say it, or I heard a couple people say it, and it just got me thinking, like, oh, yeah. And one of the comments someone made was, you know, maybe that's why every generation we think to ourselves, oh, Hitler could be it, or someone else, maybe Stalin could be it, or this other person could be it.
Right.
Because maybe the truth is that the devil always has his candidate. He needs to have his candidates every generation.
Well, you know, for an example of that, take John the Baptist. Jesus taught that if the nation had accepted John the Baptist, he would have been the Elijah who was promised in Malachi and Isaiah to be the forerunner of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
But because the nation rejected John the Baptist, he was not the Elijah who was to come, and
right.
There's going to be another one during the tribulation who will be that Elijah.
See, that's an interesting parallel. So he would have been, but he wasn't.
But he was rejected. And the kingdom would have come in the first century if they had accepted the ministry of John the Baptist and then Jesus. But because they didn't, now we don't know what century the Lord's going to return.
So what does that mean for prophecy then? Does that mean John the Baptist fulfills those prophecies, or did he fulfill any of those prophecies?
Well,
he fulfilled the forerunner stuff.
This is a whole debate in theology, but my understanding is he fulfilled all the prophecies necessary, and the only reason he isn't the Elijah who was to come is because the nation rejected him.
Okay.
If the nation had accepted him, he would have been, because I don't have the verse in front of me, but there's a verse where the Lord Jesus said, if you had accepted it,
yeah,
he would be the Elijah.
Right. So does that mean then those prophecies remain unfulfilled? Even though he fulfilled them, in a sense, he didn't fulfill them.
That's correct.
So they remain unfulfilled.
That's right.
Except he did fulfill the prophecies relating to the forerunner and the first coming.
Right.
Those were... He fulfilled them, and they are fulfilled. There's not a second fulfillment.
I think you're making a good point here. There's ultimately a separation, and there's going to be two fulfillments, one
right.
for the first coming and one for the second coming.
It's like, I guess you can say, you know, Jesus has, you know, those the first and second coming prophecies, and I guess the forerunner or the Elijah figure also has the first and second coming prophecies.
Well, I think one of the two witnesses is either literally going to be Elijah.
Right.
Or it's going to be someone coming in the spirit and power of Elijah.
Right.
And remember, Elijah didn't die and Enoch didn't die, so one theory is the two witnesses will be Enoch and Elijah, and they will die at the midpoint of the tribulation.
Yeah.
So now you have everybody dying.
Right. Interesting.
Well, not everybody, because all of us who are raptured aren't going to die. Which
yeah,
is
that's
gonna
so.
Be,
that's a lot of exceptions then.
Millions or hundreds of millions of people are going to be raptured,
unless it's like he comes at a time when there's no faith. Maybe there won't be very many Christians by the time he comes.
Well, yeah,
maybe it'll dwindle and dwindle.
It's possible that you're going to have a decrease in the percentage of people in Christendom who are born again.
Right.
But the truth is, we don't have any good way of gauging that number, because even if we do a survey of people and say, okay, how many of you believe that simply by faith in Jesus you have everlasting life that can never be lost?
Yeah.
Well, even if that number is only 5 out of 100 people in the church,
that doesn't tell us
how many of them believed in the past but stopped believing.
That's right.
Or how many will believe in the future but don't believe today. So we don't have any good way of gauging what percentage of people in Christianity. We don't even have a good way of knowing what people outside Christianity are born again. Because there are people who have become atheists who were born again,
right,
and have fallen away and are currently agnostics or atheists.
Right.
But yet they're still born again. I have a pastor friend whose son came through Awana and was very evangelical, and then in college lost his faith.
Right. And actually, in a recent YouTube debate I had on the issue of free grace and lordship salvation, that was one of the points that was raised against the free grace position. My debate partner, Cole Perkins, named some evangelists or ex-street preachers. I didn't know their names, but he said, well, according to Sean's theory, all these guys have become atheists and they're still saved, even though they're atheists now. And of course, that's not exactly what we believe. We believe if they've ever believed in Jesus for eternal life,
right,
then they have it forever, no matter what they believe.
Which isn't the same as saying all atheists have eternal life.
Well, and it's also not the same as saying anyone who says they're a Christian is born again.
Right.
I don't know what those guys believe. But anyway, so we've kind of gone off track a little bit, but that's what happened. That's the enjoyment. We're both having, I have my coffee here, you have
your tea.
And we're just kind of riffing off of theology. And that's what I like doing. We were talking to an ex-seminary professor recently, and he told us that when he was teaching at this major seminary, the faculty would never discuss theology among themselves.
I know. He said how frustrated you were. You go to the faculty lounge, and they'd want to talk about everything but theology.
So you couldn't talk theology with theology professors. How frustrating. So I'm glad for this opportunity. And we really appreciate you guys provoking our thoughts on these things. And hopefully we've deeply confused you about these issues. Because if you are, you're going to want to ask more questions, and you know where to send them. Radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to ask, where in the Bible does it talk about being born again? So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.